The only thing missing in sign of the shooting, by signing this, you promise to contribute contents to the CMM working group, etc., etc. So this is something that's deeply missing. Did you see Heroes anywhere?
Heroes. No. So I'll be away from the
Anyway, let's get started. A lot of the contents that I'm going to present here were seen yesterday. So please bring up your laptops. Those who have seen, have gone to the CMM, sorry, OGSA working group session yesterday. So bring up your email programs and start doing email. So don't worry. Okay. My name is Fred Maciel. I'm co-chair of the CMM working group. My other co-chair, Ann Stoltz. She got new assignments inside IBM and socially distancing herself, unfortunately, from the GCF and from Oasis. And so we won't be seeing her around, unfortunately. So I'll be leaving the session. And
so does that mean you need a new co-chair?
Well, we're not going beyond GGF 11, so I guess I can pull it. In fact, I would love to be able to nominate new co-chairs, you know, but people know better than getting the co-chair position, and so, okay, I'll do it alone, don't worry. I was pointing at you, but okay, you're too smart to become co-chair to accept it. So, first of all, we've seen the intellectual rules, and I need somebody to take minutes, because I'll be leaving the session, so I won't be at the computer and present and take minutes at the same time. So volunteers, Jim? Okay, thanks. Anyway, I'm recording the whole session here, so if everything goes well, I'll have an MP3 of the session up in the Grid4 site. Okay, agenda bashing. So, I'm going to give some background where the working group is right now. And so, then I'm going to explain the two things I explained yesterday in our session, the management glossary and the management framework, in a shorter version than we had yesterday. Then I'm going to give some updates on wisdom, which is basically what was our original work, and I'm going to explain what is, why wisdom here. Then I'm going to introduce the gap analysis to you for doing now and then future plans. Anything else that you wanted to hear or something? Okay. So, what is the CMM working group doing? We were born in the GGF as a spin-off of the OGSA working group in order to do the base manageability functionality for OGSA. This is just the very basic. And where is this located? You'll see further down the presentation. Around June last year, the Oasis Wisdom technical committee, the web service distributed management, their work started to become clearer. And then in the end, we discovered that we were doing exactly the same thing. And we started doing talks, and we decided to merge the specs. And for legal reasons, we decided that everybody from the CMM working group moved to Oasis, and then the work is done in Oasis. So that's why the CMM working group has been pretty quiet, because everybody, the people and the activity has been happening there. And the Oasis working group, they have made their work public, that's to say, you can go there, see the email threads, pull the documents, everything. I think you just have to register in their site. And, or rather, even without registering their site. There are a few documents which you need password, but I think it's just a blunder in terms of setting up the access permissions. So after GGF 9, in which we decided that to move everything there, what we started doing is a gap analysis. What does this mean? We started analyzing what's missing in terms of manageability in OGSA. That is to say, to manage, not only to manage a grid, but especially to manage OGSA itself, what do you need to do? And from what we have right now, what is missing in terms of functionality? And not only what is missing, but what should be done, for instance, in terms of resource models. Is there anything that we should push ahead in order to organize the whole management framework inside OGSA? And in fact, before we could tackle this, we had to first of all create a management framework and a glossary for OGSA in terms of management. So I'm going to present this one first, which is the basis for that one. And it's worth mentioning that we're collaborating very closely with the OGSA working group, and from now on we'll be collaborating even closer with the OGSA working group. Chances are that we're going to work almost as a sub-working group of the OGSA working group. Well, we are already working as a sub-working group, but probably even more from now on. And part of this are being contributed to the OGSA spec, to the glossary, which Jim is creating. And all of this is still work in progress, so we're looking forward to your feedback. Okay, so the management glossary, this is a very short version of what I gave yesterday in the presentation. From the discussions in the OGSA working group, we noticed that there are several terms in terms of management and manageability which are not clearly defined yet in OGSA. And these were causing problems inside the discussions in the OGSA working group. For instance, we're talking about an application. So is an application a resource or is it not a resource? And we had these discussions. So we have to define this one first, and we ended up spending a lot of time on that. So there are two meanings of resource, in fact. One is what the management people used to use, which is all manageable entities are resource. That is to say, anything you're dealing with is a resource. Because if you're dealing with something from a management standpoint, it means that this thing is manageable to a minimum extent. And so it's a manageable entity, and so resources are manageable entities. And this is the same definition that's used by the Web Services Resource Framework and by Oasis Wisdom. So, and this is the one that we're adopting for the OGSA. Now, the problem is that I think that within the grid community, what I feel is that there's a second definition of resource which is more restrictive than this one, which is pooled resources. That is to say, you have a pool of hosts, and then you allocate a part of it that you use, or else you have a network, you allocate a part of this network, part of the bandwidth of the network, or you have a storage and you allocate a part of the storage and you use it. So some people use this kind of meaning for resource. And in this meaning, a process, a print job, a VO, they are not resources. So that's why some people say, okay, is this a resource or is it not a resource? Because some people use this meaning and some people use this meaning. So if you're just saying working group, now we're going to use that one as the official meaning of resource. Let's say everything is a resource. Okay. Then resource management is another term we have to define or make clear, which is a generic term for scheduling, brokering, deployment, accounting, mapping, monitoring, control, problem termination, fault, you name it. What this means is that this is a term that is very ambiguous. It has many meanings. And then comes defined from that resource manager, which is a manager that implements one or more of these resource management capabilities. The problem with this is that very often people make pictures of, management frameworks, all these kind of things in OGSA, for example, the other working groups probably also. And then you have a scheduler, you have this, you have that block, and then you have a resource manager box in the middle of the figure. Okay, if you put a resource manager in the figure somewhere, it means that it's an entity that does what needs to be done. Let's say, it means nothing. Because it's an ambiguous term in the end. But my personal suggestion to everybody is, let's take care with this term. Let's say, if you're not using it as the whole thing, so let's try to be more specific what the resource management box is doing inside the picture. So any questions on this term? Okay. So then, there's the OGSA management framework, and so we had to create a framework to explain what's involved in management inside OGSA, because that one also, inside the OGSA working group discussions, it was often not clear what was involved in management. And so, by trying to organize what is there, so now we can make analysis on top of that, we can see what's missing, what's not missing, and we can drive also a lot of other work. By the way, you have seen, especially in GGF9, I presented the OGSA taxonomy and the OGSA hierarchy and so on. And probably these two are going to change. The discussions inside the OGSA working group are starting, and probably will change the figures a little bit. So there is one thing that's being criticized in our current taxonomy in the OGSA working group, is that we're mixing services, interfaces, and functions. And so this management framework I have here, it is already one step ahead of the taxonomy that I presented in GGF9, in which we put OGSA not in terms of services, in terms of functions, and in terms also of interfaces. So these circles here, they represent interfaces. So this is our input from the CMM working group into the discussions in the OGSA working group. And so, OGSA has several functions. They are, let's say, job submission, control, deployment, resource users, etc., etc. That's 20 or so in the current OGSA spec. And these functions, there are a series of services here inside each of these that it implements the function. But this functionality goes in down to the resources. Let's say the resources themselves, be them hosts, network devices, or even services themselves, they are resources because we're managing them, they will have to have also interfaces to implement this kind of functionality. Let's say, and if you're doing deployment, the resource has to have an interface in order for you to be able to deploy an operating system in there, to deploy an application in there, to put the data there, etc. So that's why I'm extending those functions down to the resources. But I'm putting this gradation here because it's not necessarily exactly the same function that you see here, but some sort of functionality in the resource that will have to exist to support this this sort of function. Another thing is that, as you see, there's some overlap in here. Let's say a given resource will have capabilities to support one or more functions, but not necessarily all of them. Okay. So that's why this figure is trying to represent. And by the way, this figure is still work in progress, and it's bound to change. So if you have any input on that, so please send to us and or EL during the session. And so if you have any questions, any comments, well, please interrupt at any time. So the management in LGSA can be divided in this three levels, which were more or less the levels we had in the OGSA taxonomy. There's the resource level, platform functions level, and GSA functions level. And I'm going to explain these three now, one by one. So the resource level, here you have the individual resources, be it, as I said, hosts, network devices, services, etc. And you manage them through their native manageability interfaces. That is to say, you have resources which you manage through SIM, you have some through SNMP, and many of them you have proprietary interfaces. So, is this part of OGSA itself? No. OGSA is inside this dotted line here. So, it's not something that we deal with in OGSA. But still, we have to be conscious that this kind of function, I mean, this kind of manageability interface, is there. That one way or another, we're going to and ultimately poke the devices by using these interfaces. But so, if this outside OGSA, so what we do in OGSA to manage these resources? And the answer is Web Services Resource Framework and Wisdom, which we are in a platform functions level. So Web Services Resource Framework, they define this WS resource thing, which represents a resource. But then, on top of that, you still need a little bit of functionality in order to really do management of resources. And that is where Wisdom, Web Services Distributed Management, comes. And so this is the part, in fact, that we, the CMM Working Group, we were born to do. Let's say there was OGSI, and the CMM would come on top of that and put a lot of functionality to do manageability. And then everything changed. OGSI became WSRF, CMM became Wisdom. But I think it was a great evolution. And we gave our work to Wisdom, and they're doing a great job right now in doing that. So, what is Wisdom? This layer, it shows these resources as services, as web services, or well, whatever you call it within a web resource framework in Wisdom. So that's what it's called, Wisdom Move, management using web services. Also, here in Wisdom, you have the manageability for the services themselves that implement OGSA. So web services in general, but we're going to use it to manage the services that implement the OGSA functions. This is called Wisdom Modes, management of web services. Wisdom is doing this too, and I'm going to give more details later on what is Wisdom. But anyway, have an idea of what this is. So this gets the interfaces and the manageability of the resources and presents it in a way that is suitable for us to deal with in OGSA. And also, it presents, it unifies the kind of interface that you have to go to the resources. Then, at the OGSA functions level, we have two kinds of management. We have, first of all, the management of the grid itself. That is to say, many of these functions, they are by themselves the management functions. Let's say, job submission and control, this is a management, deployment, this is part of management, etc., etc. There are, some functions are not exactly management. First of all, there are registries, this is not management per se. So, yeah, it's used by management, but not, it's not management per se. So, but a few of these functions, they are resource managers, as I defined in the previous slide. And so, you have functional interfaces in which you say, use this services and you do the management of the grid. There's a second aspect of that, which is the management interfaces for its function, is the management of OGSA itself. And this will become clear in the next slide, in which I'll show, let's say, a job submission service, which embodies, let's say, the job submission function. And so a user of the job submission service, you use the functional interface to submit the job, cancel the job, and do all this kind of work. And the person who is managing the OGSA infrastructure, you'll have a manageability interface by which this person will start and stop the service, get statistics, how many jobs did go through, how many jobs did fail, what's the average utilization of the resources underneath you, etc. So you have this manageability interface. So at the OGSA function level, you have these two interfaces by which you do management. So by getting this management framework that we have seen here, so now we finally can organize where things are, where the resource models are, where the native manageability is, where, let's say, web services resource framework and wisdom are, and management of the grid, management of OGSA. We can now organize management within OGSA, and now we can start discussing management at the OGSA working group, because so far this discussion had been very muddled because there was no such structure to support the analysis. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about wisdom. The wisdom working group, as I said, all the work was moved there. And we have had a series of people, I, Dave, Andrea, who's not here today, and who have been also participating there. I mean, is anybody following the work in Wisdom here? Oh, really? Okay. So we have had people looking at that, but we didn't have yet. This is not a GSDL session. Well, it was simultaneous, okay. Okay, so, but we're still lacking people, really, doing a very strong liaison, I think, between OGSA and Wisdom. And so there was a discussion yesterday with Jeff, Nick, and so on, for us to get all the pieces together. And so I'm hoping that we're going to get, I mean, the models, the wisdom part, the OGSA part, etc., etc., everything aligned from now on. But anyway, and another thing, Hiro is not here today, but he gave me a homework long ago, which was to try to find if there are any overlaps between Wisdom and OGSA. And this is something that we need to think about also. So I'm going to give an idea of what the contents of Wisdom are, which are not going to satisfy you, Jay, certainly not. But that's the best I was able to do in the time I have. Okay. What is Wisdom? It's the way this web service distributed management technical committee. And as I said, they're using management using web services and management of web services. That's the management of web services. It uses the management using web services framework, and by using this, you manage web services themselves through web services. So this provides a uniform way to show the manageability interfaces of resources, which is WSRF based. There was some discussion whether they officially adopted WSRF or not, but I think that ultimately there will be a final decision on that. And so it's great because it aligns them in the web services community with us here in the grid community. So that is very big for all of us. Also, not only are you showing the interface up, but also you add a set of functionalities which are general and broad use for management. And I'm going to talk about a few of them in the next slide. Metrics, resource states, relationships among resources, etc. the time scale here is not very well done, but what are the plans, the current plans? In GTF 9, we decided in the CNM working group that we were going to unify the specs, and as I said, the work was moved to Wisdom. And now they're doing a 0.5 spec, which is, if you go to the website, it's mostly done, so it should be in the end of this month, it should be done. And then, after that, the people will create prototypes, and there will be interoperability demonstration, not 0.5 here, around May. That's their plan. And then, in parallel with this, the work on version 1.0 continues, and hopefully we'll have 1.0 in August. So, this 0.5, it's very strongly targeted at the demonstration, let's say, the things that you need to demo. And so it's very restricted also in terms of functionality, and it's restricted also to monitoring. So it's not the full spec yet.
And it's very SIM influenced, right?
I am not sure exactly, because they are going to go, they're going to show it not with generic resources, they're going to show Wisdom managing web services. Let's say moves and moles. Let's say you're managing the moles, managing all web services using moves. And so you have this model for the web services there. So I'm not sure how much of SIM is going there. In fact, Edward said that the thing that there is work in the DMTF on modeling web services.
Right, one of the questions I have is the relationship between the DMTF modeling work and Wisdom.
The relationship between the two, and that's a good question, and that's a question that would ideally be asked to Andrea. That is to say, well, Wisdom itself, it's operating at a meta model level. That is to say, they are not exactly defining, but for most, for management of web services, they will have a model for the web services. But the MOOS, the management using web services, they are at the meta model level. And then you have to map this down to the model. That is to say, you have to find a way to map their interfaces to SIM, their interfaces to SNMP, etc., etc. And this is one of the pieces that's missing.
Isn't there kind of an actual decision there?
Yeah, there is, but I'm trying to figure out what functionality they're really gonna demonstrate. It sounds like what they're gonna demonstrate is just a modeling of the web service management interface.
Yeah,
I mean,
if one could expose these SIM attributes, SIM model attributes, a SIM model operation through a web service interface, I think.
Well, I think I'm hoping that's what they're going to do. It sounds like that's a 1.0 activity. It's not
1.5. It might not even be 1.0. It might have to be done in a separate place. And that's a frightening part of it. So that's why everybody has to get together, Jeff, Nick, Andrea, us, and see if the pieces are really...
What is the next... So for the most part, the Wisdom activity has been carried out via face-to-face meetings, is that correct?
Oh no, the mailing list is incredibly active also, and they have the teleconferences here, really. They have a lot of momentum. Face-to-face is kind of once every 2 months, almost once a month. Next one is beginning of next month?
April 14th.
14, okay. And so when is the ballot?
Actually, and they're planning to do it in Islandia, Islandia.
They're planning to do it in Islandia, but 120% of the time they change the place in the last minute, so watch out.
I don't think the time of day, so I don't think that would be 3 days at all during that minute.
But anyway, most
I get it. Head should know all this.
Yeah, but they the last face-to-face, which was once months ago, it together with the Odessa face-to-face, Europe left. They were basically discussing all the time what to demo exactly. So basically, that 0.5 functionality was almost coordinated to the demo. And what they're going to do is basically get a web service, a manageable web service there, and then, I mean, stop the web service, and then you have a red light showing up and say, okay, we stop it, start it, and so we can poke it. So it won't be fantastic functionality there, but they're almost
there. It's almost all modes.
Some modes, they will have the parts of modes which are necessary to get it working. But for instance, events, they have not yet decided what they're going to do with events, if it's WS classification or WS eventing or something else, or the base, what Heather was saying, it was the base, home base events, and then put the same events on the top of that, so you name it. So they're going to have a long discussion on what to do regarding events, for instance. And so events are not going to .5.
And they're in kind of an awkward position in there, right, between the SIM event models and the other kind of embedding and the script.
I couldn't hear what you said.
Sorry, very they're in a difficult position there because they're in between the two technologies. They're between the SIM expression of an event and these new embedding technologies.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. To say the least. Okay. So, moving ahead, give an insufficient outline of what's coming in .5. First of all, they have a concept of identity, and if you ask me what's the relationship with WS address, I don't know, but it's in their spec. And so they have basically a resource ID, which is an URI, which is opaque. It comes together with a name, which is for suitable for human consumption, which says what the thing is, and plus a version of the whole thing. And then there are the wisdom definitions in XML schemas in order to get this data through. Then they're going to define for .5 also metrics, which is a specific type of object property in the sense of WS resource framework, so a resource property. And represent values in the collection service, like, let's say, number of packets that went through, number of requests that were processed, etc., etc. These values that come from this from a resource that can represent. Moose itself only has one, which is current time, but then if you are representing other classes of services or other resources, you can have these metrics in there also. And by the way, for people taking notes, this will be probably in GridForge today or early next week, all the slides in the CNN working group GGF10 folder. So you can pull it from there. And the attributes of a metric, for instance, if you have number of packets, all the metrics can be reset, a value that can reset. So let's say the model of a device, this is a Cisco 7000 router. Okay, this is not a metric. Okay, but number of packets we went through, this is a metric. Okay, they can all be reset.
Is metric a complex type?
It is a good question. So if I look at the angle brackets, I can tell you, but.
But it is a defined, regardless of whether it's a complex type or not, it's a defined type in the XML scheme.
Mm-hmm, okay.
So the intent is that people will use the cut and paste method right now,
mm-hmm.
With respect to 1.1 mm-hmm. to copy these things into the resource properties, mm-hmm. Real resources.
Exactly.
Okay.
So with respect to SIP, these metrics would be the attributes in the SIP model?
Yeah, chances are it will be.
Well, not all of them, because some. I mean, if you look at this definition, some SIM attributes are metric-wide, but not all. Some are state.
Exactly.
Some of them are state-like.
So, one of the exercises will be partition the SIM attributes into the state,
Well, at very least interstate metrics. I'm not even sure that covers the whole.
That's another one that's not coming in about five.
So I'm a little surprised that there's only one common metric.
I'm surprised more than one. Because, you know, the metric certainly represents space. So I'm not sure that I would understand the distinction. The metrics are totally.
My presumption is, yes, so metrics represent a state of some sort, but the fact that you can reset the metric and not impact the state of the resource, in other words, what you're really doing is you're saying, change the count or change the dimensionality of your gauge or something, that doesn't affect the operational state of the source. It just basically starts a new measurement interval. Okay? And so that's how I distinguish that kind of state from a state in which, you know, in theory, if you reset processor utilization to zero, and if it was a state-based attribute, that would stop the processor. So that's how I distinguish between state and metrics.
The way you can distinguish it would be that part of state that those operations make sense for.
Yeah, well, I guess that's a way to look at it. I mean.
So the thought would be anyone who's interested in a particular resource would have their own instance of this.
Yeah, let's say if you have your own resource and you have your own resource model that's associated with the resource, then you have to map it onto wisdom.
I guess what's a little unconventional from the previous work would be the support for cardinality between multiple observers and a single resource. So, if I have multiple observers observing a single resource, we're going to have some who can set it in the way and that kind of issues. It seems that when you start having operations reset up, one would imply at least the coordinated access to that effect.
Exactly. In wisdom, a resource may be managed by multiple managers. And so, how are you going to deal with this? Well, that's on the manager side, fortunately. So if they have multiple people resetting things, so okay. But at least, let's say, once you reset, the reset app will tell you when it was reset. And so you have, it was reset at this point, and so from this point on, number of packets that you have, for instance, is that one. So still get a coherent thing when you get the whole.
It's kind of a novel thought, right? That's something that doesn't show up in, like I said, the traditional technologies like lakes and
others. So one of the things that's remarkably missing from this is any notion of dimensionality. So, you know, I look at this and I say, I've got a counter. Mm-hmm. But if I don't have any notion of dimensionality, then what does one bit in that counter represent? Is it one packet? Is it one K packets? Is it?
Okay. I'm not sure if this was there, but they wouldn't make a blunder big enough to not to include some units in there, I hope.
Okay. I'll hope to.
So let's hope, right? Or else, if they forget it, we yell. Okay? By the way, for now, they only have to reset all operation all the metrics as a whole. This is DOS 5. So, again, this is what they need for the demo.
Okay, what's the
reset at? Reset at is, when you reset a metric, let's say, the counter of the number of packets. So this is the time it was reset. And this is the time it was, the value was last updated.
Presumably they're doing something schema-wise in terms of relating time values to a previously defined standard.
Time values are previously defined?
No, there are time value standards.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Okay.
They are there.
Oh, okay. I would hate to see them do that again because I was involved in the first time and it wasn't pretty.
If you want, Jay, you have zillions of angle brackets here in the definition.
Okay.
You can go through lots of SSD and have fun. But, you know, despite being in Japan for 15 years and having attained oriental levels of patience, but I don't have the time for that. So, okay, moving ahead. States. This is something that was even in the very starting CRM definition, which was where we were born from, and it's something that comes time and time and time again. So this is, it has a representation of the state of resource that you can make, and it has, well, you can define several levels, but the top level of the resource state, you have three states, available, degraded, and available. The best words to describe this is green, yellow, red. That's it. It's working, it's not working, something is wrong. It's kind of working, but something is wrong. And so you have, well, these three states and then all the transitions between
the
states.
So there's only one on that chart I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe I do. Stop as an operation will take me either from degraded to unavailable or from available to unavailable.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I can only start an unavailable resource.
You can. If it's, let's say, off, then you can start and then it's on. But if it's off, you cannot put it into a, let's say, overloaded state. Imagine, let's say, this is work, not working, working, and let's say overloaded. So, taking from this to this one is kind of strange, but all the rest works.
What transition is
missing?
Well, so the interesting thing from my point of view is, at least in my experience in actually writing low-level managers, it's frequently the case that there is no there's some limitation on certain kinds of resource to go from available to unavailable without going through the clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's possible.
Okay.
What is the possible
of going? Do they find any subset limitations on the state graphs?
Okay. Subset, you mean substates? Or
no. So,
for the transistors, if they are atomic or not.
So, typically, if you think about, let's take a real example, processor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The typical situation is you can't stop a processor without quiescing it because you have to shut it down in an orderly fashion. And mm-hmm. So, the transition that's marked here from available to unavailable in for a certain class of resource is not permitted.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is, do they have subsets of the state graph?
Yeah.
No, that's...
Okay, I'll get there. There was a lot of... First of all, there was a lot of discussion whether there would be two states only, green and red, or they would put three states. They ended up with three states.
Good.
And this is not... The degraded state is not meant to be something, let's say, on... Turning off and off. This is on, broken, but still plugged to the AC outlet, and okay, you unplugged it.
Well, so then there's a problem because, as I say, there's a very large class of resources, mm-hmm. okay, that cannot make the transition available to unavailable without an intermediate state,
okay.
Like degraded.
Then,
if you have any effect, I was on this call arranging my process. And part of the argument was that if you
from your perspective, degraded has a different perspective, different view. If you're the user, degraded means something is useless and available and available. If you're a manager of it, degraded is a very important state because there are still things you can use for it, like compliance it or shut it down or something like that.
Right.
So I think they've captured those kind of concepts. I don't know for sure about how much you can dictate to the schema of what the transitions and allowable the transitions are.
Okay.
But I think that I would guess that that's the kind of thing, given the level of detail we were discussing. We're talking about things like information.
Okay, so the thing that I just want to make sure, and it sounds like you have a reasonably good understanding of what we're discussing, is that what Fred said is not true, that the grade is only a conceptually broken as opposed to some it could also be a draining state.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, apparently they gave up on was a clean up state.
Okay.
I see the point you're making. So that there is no transition from unavailable to degraded.
Are those things?
That's potentially a problem.
I don't think they would be precluded.
I mean, you have that concept of subspace there. I assume this is some kind of base state diagram that you could inherit and
add. You know, some management structures would simply be more degraded. If you were doing a job as a management resource, you might be unavailable. And then
it's not a conventional inheritance in the sense then that one could ignore states in the base diagram. And I guess this should be, so Phil, do you have any thoughts on, how can you explain how substates would feed into this?
Okay. Well, as far as I know, and the substates are a 1.0 thing, so they're not in the current spec yet. But when I talked to Igor yesterday, or the day before yesterday, he explained me that you can have, in fact, multiple levels of substates underneath that. And the substates, they map to this top level states, that is to say,
the container.
Yeah,
the whole container. Exactly. That makes sense. But
this specialization of state, like the specialization of the available state.
Yeah, exactly.
But so the problem is that having substates doesn't solve the problem that I alluded to and that David explained, which is that I think there is a case to be made, if for no other reason than to do it for symmetry, for being able to go from unavailable to degraded.
Well, I mean, it's not exactly degraded, of course. It's akin to degraded. It's unavailable in the state where there are things that have to be done before it can be available.
So, the bottom line is, whatever word you pick for that state, will not be satisfying for some sort of thing. To me, degraded just seems like you're starting it and just stopping.
There is a long time around the words to use.
Yeah, so I'm perfectly happy with the name. Because the implication there is, regardless of what the transition is, whether it's stopping or starting, it's not useful.
Right.
It's manageable, but it's not useful.
Right, and the problem with degraded or the implication is something that wasn't degraded.
Right. Well.
And that's the way they've drawn the diagram.
Yeah, and that implicit state transition is, I think, what everyone's thinking over.
Well, the lack of symmetry in that diagram really bothers me. So, anyway.
Okay, if you want to go to the wisdom working group,
I will.
Sell down, have all my moral support, but nothing else.
I will.
So, the thought for the substates that you don't need permitted transition within a substate state?
No, I think you can transition from a substate across to a substate, from a substate available to a substate degraded. That's permitted.
So, maybe the transition.
That would still be contained.
Yeah.
Because there is so I would hope, from a modeling perspective, that the rules on substates are that substates are really contained within the state.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay. So, since there, for example, I can't go from Well, actually, in this particular graph, there are no limitations, so I don't have a problem. At the moment, there's a limitation, so they can't go from unavailable to graded. So if I had a substate of unavailable, I couldn't go to a substate.
Right.
But if they do the right thing and make it symmetrical, then there are no restrictions here.
Okay. Shall I move ahead?
I guess.
And then, in 1.0, some things that are expected to come will be relationships between your sources, which is something that's missing for a long time here in GL. Configuration and control, and this in the sense that Doc 5 is only monitoring. So the configuration and control stuff is going into 1.0. Igor told me also about change description, and then the whole discussion on events and notification, which is going to be really fun to make an understatement. Okay, but anyway, what else?
Let me just ask you a question about this really fun subject of events and notification. First of all, has there been any discussion yet in Wisdom about it?
I think the conclusion is that it's going to be take very long, and so they don't have the time for it in Dot 5, and so they didn't even start it. David, more or less like that.
So I don't know, has there been any discussion of events and notifications in Wisdom today?
So I
am going to go and participate because but it seems to me my intuition on this, having participated fairly heavily in the definition of WS notification and at least read the WS notification flag and sort of understand the space, that they want to start with the goal of separating themselves from the mechanism of message transmission. And if they do that, you know, sort of not get into the whole discussion of whether they're using WS notification, base notification, WS events, and model their eventing, their kind of base event or whatever, you know, eventing infrastructure, separate from messaging infrastructure. And if they do that, at least they will leave that whole sort of morass.
Well, what's fairly clear is that since they're defining a state diagram and some substates, then the transition from those states would make part of their infrastructure.
Sure,
location.
Sure. But there could be lots of other things that
are delivered might not be part of their concern at all.
Right.
I want that point I'm making. I would like to see them sort of put a statement here that says, we're going to worry about, in some sense, just as we did with the state idea, the meta model, not the mechanism.
Okay, if you look at the HP initial proposal, Wisdom's proposal, it's managing, its way of dealing with event issues was to have the WS event proposal that was also an HP in separate.
Okay, so we clearly have set up a space from the event. Right. What we definitely want to say is that the notification
had it here,
and we're not
going to out that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure that's the way that
it's good.
Okay. So, but anyway, for those of you who haven't been following Wisdom and having followed the CMM working group, just some final words on Wisdom. I think it's...
Did you say words of Wisdom?
Yeah, some words of Wisdom also. Yeah. Did they have the coolest acronym around?
Yeah,
anyway.
I thought there was a discussion or change in
the
game too.
No, the Moodle knows they have to change, but Wisdom, no way.
Why? What's wrong with Moodle knows? Other than they had little cute, they had some cute
stuff.
Okay.
And then you guys have it on the multiple, but I mean, they argue among themselves. Perhaps it's what we're speaking to.
Okay.
This is the other.
Okay.
So, anyway, so it's a few words of Wisdom. The Wisdom spec, I think it's coming really strong, and there is a lot of support also in the industry for it, and we're going to see this in practice as soon as in May they get their demo. So there'll be, there's expected that some really three big companies doing management software suites, three of the big four, will be creating prototypes and going to the interpretive demo. And again, it's one of the standards in which people are already building the prototypes and building the products at the same time with the standards. So it should have a lot of momentum in the industry. It should become big. And so it's something that also a part of the OGSA architecture. And so it's something that we in the GGF have to be very much aware of, because it's something big, it's an essential piece, and it's coming. So keep an eye on it. You'll hear a lot about it in the future.
Has it been decided in the business that the resource properties that were defined non-replicated as the
resource property? That's a good question.
I was assuming that's the language they're using. That's the language they're using. Mm-hmm. They're using the language of WS resource framework in their discussion.
I think it has been decided that.
It seems to have been decided, but I and Nadia were not absolutely sure that they decided. So, well, but anyway.
I think they decided now.
Is this a question for Wisdom or for Oasis?
Wisdom or Oasis,
yeah.
PC.
Yeah.
But there's a question about whether these Wisdom is an Oasis question.
No, it's a Wisdom question. Well, Oasis is rarely prescriptive on anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
just,
yeah, the question is, if
the user gets
you out
there, it's because of
these
OSSTs. Oh, yeah,
it's all
the stuff
that you're still in your charter, guys.
Right.
But anyway, they should adopt it officially. If they didn't adopt it officially, they will adopt it officially. So you can count on them having adopted it.
So far,
I've
seen that going to define price specs that
It's not there. I have here March 2 drafts. So the drafts are going through the email. I haven't checked it the last few days. But it's taking shape. It's great. Because so far, for 1 year, it was a concept in the minds of everybody, which was impossible to explain to anybody, exactly like CMM. So finally, it's taking shape. Finally, you can't explain what it is. No. Okay. Moving ahead, I'm going to present you the OGSA gap analysis and what we're doing. I was hoping to would have had advanced more by this time, but unfortunately, it's still very much work in progress. What is the gap analysis? We decided to start this in GGF 9 after we gave our work to Wisdom. So what is the objective? It's to find what's missing in terms of manageability in OGSA, and also find what should be done. Of course, is there anything we need to do regarding models? Is there anything we have to create? Not that's missing, but we have to do in order to be able to manage OGSA infrastructure and manage a grid. So once we find targets here of things that need to be done, we need to prioritize them. And either we give the work to our working groups or we spawn new working groups, or we reach out and do it ourselves, probably will be one of these two. Some useful references that of things that people have done already. There is the UK Science Gap Analysis, which is 170 pages or something?
Yeah.
It's of biblical proportions. And it has a lot of contents. It doesn't touch much in terms of management and manageability. I searched that, but I have to go back into that one. And a second one, which is very interesting, and I love to see that, when the data areas do their own gap analysis and creating their own architecture, trying to see where the working groups fit on each other and then what's missing. So there was a document on there. And by the way, yesterday they were thinking about creating a sub-working group on the OGSA for data, because it's something that's missing pretty much in the OGSA working group, so that side of things. So,
well, you could present it in a document, but there's no.
It's represented in the document.
Yeah.
Because Alan has been contributing to the document. There's no sub-working one.
Yeah. So, what is the gap analysis, the conceptual view? You have seen previously in the framework that we have the OGSA function like job submission, deployment, usage, and then we have several levels. There's moves, wisdom, moves, most. Then for each service, we have the manageability interface and the functional interface. And we have also, for each of them, a series of models which exist. And so the gap analysis conceptually is just filling up this table. That is to say, look at what is needed and what exists in all of these squares and find where the gaps exist or where duplicated things exist. And I try to create a simple one, like a registered function, for instance. In this case, the functional interface, it's not registered, as I said, it's not resource management in the strong sense, so it doesn't concern us. But for the manageability interface, we have to monitor the operation and the performance of a registry, for instance, to see if a registry is overloaded, and then if we have to spawn new instances of registries in order to share the load and things like that. And probably, in order to do that, we need some sort of simple model of a registry for us. I don't know if this exists already, so we have to go after one, probably. Just as our Android will say that something exists in SIM, and so. Anyway, but reusing, if something exists, reusing is okay. And there is a wisdom moves, and then the question that I and Jim have been always asking, to manage the services that embody these functions. Well, we can manage through MOS, management of web services, to create the instances, to store the instances, to monitor them, etc. Is there anything that's needed here? So we're not sure yet. This is one of the questions we're asking ourselves. So what we're doing is to fuel up this kind of things for some 20 or so OGSA functions that exist now. And as I said, OGSA, we're changing the taxonomy, we're changing these functions, and probably this will affect our analysis to an extent, but it will be mostly like copying and pasting and changing things around. But we'll have to, let's say, follow the OGSA working group into that one. Another thing I explained, oh yeah. So the status of, as I said, is still beginning, but some things we have been seeing, we're starting to see that we might need some grid specific events for things that are specific to grid computing, which are not defined anywhere else. So that's a possibility.
Can you give an example?
Hero has a few examples, and he has even some proposals that we're thinking about in the business grid project, but we're not sure if and when we're going to contribute that. It's still discussing, but there is a possibility that this is needed.
Ends up to us.
That's your points and long runs.
But to say half a joke or perhaps it's a quarter of a joke, perhaps the biggest gap we have found is academia versus industry. And I don't want to be divisive here, but the interesting thing is that the people in the industry, we have to get products out of the door which are compatible with other people's products. And so we have a strong awareness of standards. And also our stuff that we sell, we have to be manageable. So we have also a strong awareness of manageability. And in academia, there's not so much awareness, there's not so much need to do that. I would say that the mission of academia is to create new things. So the tendency of people will be to, let's say, when they need a new model or model for something, they'll create their own model instead of using, let's say, something that exists right now. One example was the GMA document. They say, okay, let's represent resources as services. And then we have all the resource properties. And okay, let's create our own model of the whole resource properties. And there are already 1,000 models that exist, so why not be using something that exists? So this is, I mean, this is the culture. I'm not just exactly criticizing, but when we start doing grid computing on what it is now, the pieces have to come together. And so the models is one of the things we have to think about. And another comment related to that is that the Symbian Working Group has been so far, basically all the participants have been companies with big management software suites, and we haven't had yet much feedback from academia also on that, especially let's say the GMA people. We only started giving some, I mean, showing up very recently. So we're looking forward for the feedback of people also in academia, really. So this is the piece that's really missing in our working group. So the next step for us is to fill in the table. As I said, moving target to all the GSA refractory that's going to start. And also we have to make a detailed analysis of more critical services, like for instance, as I said, registries. Registries is something that's going to be very needed and very critical in any OGSA infrastructure. So we have to take special care about this and many other services, and so we have to take more care of the manageability of these ones. And this is what I said yesterday about resource information models, and again, the same comment I said about academia versus industry applies here also, because we have many models that exist. SIM, SNMP, NIBS, GSR, CMC level, GMX. But these are explicit things, but we have lots of implicit ones here that in resource descriptions like brokering, scheduling, job submissioning, you know Globus RSL, Unicorn, Resource Schema Glue, but there's also brokering, scheduling, job submission, so GSPL. It is, and deployment, so CDDLM, CCDL, I think is the name of it. And then accounting metric is the work of the resource users working group. So all these places, they have implicit models inside. And so yesterday I mentioned an extreme case in which if you, let's say, scheduling a job, deploying the data and the program, and then doing metric on that, if the resource, it's what they say that is your resource is different. So you're scheduling it in one thing, you're deploying in another and measuring a third one. That is to say, when we get the pieces together, if these models are not in sync, things are not going to work. So we need to coordinate the semantics of this model because we will always have many models in a grid. So what needs to be done on that? So the analysis is still a very preliminary stage. And so we are going to go forward with this one. Okay, future plans. Is there a class right now? I'm going to 10, right? So we still have 10 minutes. Okay. So future plans. So what do we do from between now and GTF 11? We had a discussion in the working group about closing the working group, or rather, that we could even close the working group, but we just move the activities to other places. Let's say our activities continue, but we just throw away the working framework. And then we had consensus that we really could close the working group without any problems. But then in the last few days, it seems that the urgency to close the working group or the need or the pressure is not there from the steering group. And so, after we decided that we should close, we're told that we don't need to close. So now what to do? And so, what I'm going to do is for us to follow the plan that we decided with a twist. So, I'm not going to say what the steering group, I'm not going to do exactly what the steering group told me, and so don't tell the other directors, please. Okay?
Except that one has to be sitting.
Okay, I'll have to send to you notes later, but anyway.
That's easy.
Okay, so what we're going to do is, well, wisdom continued at Oasis. Okay, they're doing a great job. Gap analysis. We need to get the discussion deeper in the OGSA working group, because now it's been quite awkward that we're discussing it in the CMM working group. We take it from time to time to the OGSA working group, and we don't have everybody in the teleconferences, and so not everybody gets to review things, and then we go back, and so we need to get this gap analysis deeper into the OGSA working group. And so what we're going to do is work even more as a design team of the OGSA working group. Where is Theo going to write the file this?
It's not Theo, don't worry about it.
Okay. So, one thing I absolutely want to do, we are finishing the gap analysis document and submitting it in GDF11. Either before GDF11 or within the final call in GDF11. Okay, hopefully before. And if I didn't make it clear enough, we're finishing the gap analysis document and submitting it as an informational document. And we're not going past GDF11 with that one. So, hard deadline. Okay? Teleconferences from now on, they'll be on demand, because on demand is one of the things that grid is about, right? Okay, so we're getting gridlock. So, the on demand here, that's a time according to people's availability. That is to say, to get Robbie and to get Andrea if needed, and to get, let's say, Jeff Roy. I'm dreaming here, but anyway. And the people who are needed, find a time slot, everybody can participate in them. Do the discussion if needed. So, but then on closing, and that's the gotcha, we keep the working group status and we submit it as a CMM working group document.
So, I'm concerned about something.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, I have no doubt that the Wisdom TC of Oasis is doing a superb job of you know, moving forward with this work. But it seems to me that a critical step here is to make sure that the people who were concerned and participated in CMM in GGS are participating, at least from a monitoring, if not a more active standpoint, in Oasis. Now, when we discussed, and I've had a couple of discussions with Charlie about this, when we discussed the relationship between Oasis and GGS, one of the things we said we would do, and I think we should do this, I think we should do this at GGF1, is to make sure that there are informational, if not actual working group activities, of the Oasis PC that overlay with GGF activities. So what I would like to see happen, and this is a request, you're the working group chair, so my request is that at, and unfortunately I won't be at GGF9, but that I'm making this request on behalf of other people, is that at GGF9, there is a, GGF11, there's a much more substantive informational session delivered by the key GGF participants in the Oasis work, of where the Oasis work stands, and how that maps against our gap analysis. So in other words, I'm not saying that you've done a great job, but I really would like to see the Oasis people come possibly have working meetings at GGS and face-to-face working meetings at GGS, but at the very least give detailed informational presentations about where they stand, at least at GGS 11 and subsequent GGS meetings as they approach the 1.0 spec. I think that's really important because there's a very important piece of their constituency here in the Ridgefields, and that interlock between GGS and OASIS has to be maintained. You can't just throw things over the wall.
Well, I think that would be a really excellent invitation to from CML. Somebody who has recently stepped through the whole set of specs sometime a month before GGS 11 from the Wisdom Group.
By the way, you're saying OASIS or just Wisdom?
Wisdom.
In fact, I tried to get somebody from Wisdom to come here and give the presentation, but there was nobody coming.
Right. So I think we need to try a lot harder. I think, you know, if necessary, something you can take up through your area directly through the GFSV and you know, basically back through OASIS management. Make it clear, because my attitude about this is, we are an important part of their constituency, and in a lot of ways, the leading edge component of their constituency. And so it's important for them to communicate with us and vice versa. So we have to get them, ideally, I would encourage them to actually take advantage of GGF venues and have face-to-face meetings with GGF venues. You know, that may or may not be possible because there is also disjunction between the people who participate in GGF and some of the class of people who participate in Wisdom DC. But at very least, we need strong informational interlock between GGF and OASIS Wisdom.
Not only Wisdom, but WSRF and GGF.
Yes, well, and so certainly there has been no shortage of strong informational interlock with WSRF today, because that's one of my responsibilities. So you've gotten probably more WSRF in the last 2 GGF and a half than you can have. But in this Wisdom stuff is absolutely, in the end, you know, your point about it being fundamental to OGSA is absolutely on target. And so, you know, this needs to be an ongoing focus. So my attitude is, leave the working group in place, if nothing else, that is an overlay to sponsor that interlock activity.
Okay. So tell us the error about
it. I did.
My next thing is about does that indicate to you enough substance of life in the working group that you need to realign your charter? Because the charter is still written down to create the Wisdom type stacks.
Well, so
we just need to be right, I think.
Right.
If we're going this way as the main mission of the working group, certainly.
So I think slice out of your idle time because you've got lots of free time to get. Have a look at the charter and see how you can read the structure. Because the working group cannot spend too long off charter. And we're happy to let it be off charter long enough to close out and still accomplish something for the greater good of us. But it sounds like there's enough energy. This is a really good turnout for 8:30 in the morning at the party on top. Actually, really impressed. So if there's that much energy and then good set of focus, we should just recharge and keep going.
Well, I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I suspect that part of what's going on here is people really want to know what concrete is happening in the space, and since most of us in the grid space really, you know, by virtue of just organizational politics, time and money, can't participate in the race, this is our opportunity to find out.
Let me just do a poll. How many are already or would like to contribute to the gap analysis and finishing up with that in terms of at least reviewing some? We still have a small editorial team.
Right.
So we're going to increase our energy share here. We do have interest.
But on the other hand, let me ask a different question. How many people, you know, want that informational interlock and also be able to contribute feedback through GGF, through OASIS, Wisdom DC? I know that's something
be one of my purposes.
Thanks,
so we can talk about things. The work that needs to be done on the overlay and so forth almost looks like it can happen through individuals, and therefore a quick wrap up of GDL development and working group makes sense, and let the individuals do that overlay. Okay, so that needs to be done. Unless there is some clear work that needs to be done that's independent of the wisdom work.
So let me ask you a question. If you shut the work group down, I don't object, I'm not as skilled in GDF politics as you are. So if you shut the work group down, but there is a strong interest in this sort of information inflow, what mechanism do you have for making sure that there are wisdom sessions at GGFs as we go forward?
That's a lot of working group subgroup.
Yeah, so that, we could do it as an OGSA subgroup also. I don't care what parenthetical remark there is after it. I do care if at GGF 12 in Brussels, when these guys are in the throes of their 1.0 build out, I come to the GGF meeting and there's no forum, informational or feedback for Oasis Wisdom in GGF. I care a lot about that.
Resources have fallen off the map.
So, I don't care what parenthetical remark you put after that session, but I want to make sure that there's somebody both lobbying Wisdom and responsible to GGF for making that session happen at GGF 12.
Okay. There's no one in GGF, TFSG, the steering group, is trying to kill this working group.
I understand that. I would say I don't care about the politics as long as the session happens.
As long as the session happens. The session that you're asking about will need to not conflict with an OGSA working group, would be my guess.
Right, so it's probably okay for it to be treated as a subgroup of OGSA.
In fact, sometimes the thing is that it means we're going to get more, right?
Yeah, and so in some ways, yeah, the presentation from an update as part of one of the OGSA sessions makes as much or more sense than
okay, fine.
Yeah. And we'll get a lot more people and get a lot more attention.
As long as we make Fred responsible for making sure it happens on that.
So if you don't
I'll help you beat up.
Please. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to move the line without, as a working group, without a specific thing that we're supposed to be producing. Okay? There is no such thing as a liaison group yet. And that's kind of what we're doing.
Well, so one possible thing you could do is morph it into an RG.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't want to belabor this.
Yeah.
I think I've said it enough times. I want to make sure there's interlock between these two groups. Okay. When we, I lived through this whole discussion with respect to WSRF. Okay. I mean, I had a bad day with Charlie about, the whole motion of doing it in Oasis. And we had a long discussion about what we do to make sure there's interlock for that one. Charlie is right. This is, this partnership between standards bodies, in some sense, is a wonderful testament to the forward-looking vision of GGF. But we still have to, stay vigilant in here because we can't just throw these concepts over the wall to other standards bodies and expect them to execute in our best interest as the grid constituency. We have to maintain vigilance, which means both participating in their activities, but also bringing those activities home to GGF. Not all of us can go to Oasis meetings.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, any further comments?
Terrific meeting, Craig.
Okay, so...
One question. How many people are actually on the working group levels? How many people will sign up for the
How many people on Wisdom
CC mailing list, or at least monitor the website. That's really good.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, well, session adjourned. Thank you very much for coming. Sign up sheets. This. Okay.